Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Pat Prescott from The Morning Show. You know, this past year, thousands of young women vied for the coveted title of Miss America 2019. And on September 9th, Nia Imani Franklin, representing the beautiful state of New York, became the fourth Miss New York since 2013 to take home the crown. She is joining us in the studio today to talk about the year of service that she is on right now and also about a great national tour that hopefully will bring her somewhere very near you very soon. Imani, Nia. It's so great to meet you today. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me today.
Now, I know you know what your name means.
Yes.
And it's Swahili for purpose, right?
It is.
And so your purpose seems to be to do good.
Yes.
I kind of like that.
Thank you. I think everybody's purpose should be to do good, but yes.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit, though, about you and how you got to where you are today with the great achievements that you have been making. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Trey Foe, shout out. I am a Winston-Salem born and raised girl, and I love my city because it's not too big. It's not too small. And it's a city of arts and innovation. So what better city for an artist to grow up in?
That is true. And I guess one of the most important elements that really helped you to win this title was the incredible vocal talent that you have. And how early were you when you knew that singing was something you wanted to do?
I don't think it was ever even a thought. I mean, I think I always knew I wanted to sing. My mom jokes that I used to like sing kind of in the balcony at church as a baby, like over the pastor as he was preaching. And I don't know, I don't even remember the first time I sang. It's just always something that I've done. And I had my first big solo at my third grade talent show, and I sang probably my first solo in church.
What did you sing? Do you remember what you sang?
Oh, absolutely. It was The Older Get Cross. I was the finale of my third grade talent show. I had my hair pressed and on a hill far away. And I had my matching white lace socks with the white dress and the patent leather shoes.
We had the same stylist.
Yeah.
Did you have like the three braids?
No, it was I had it pressed out.
Oh,
and a little white headband or like a bow in my hair. So it was a good day.
Yeah, those memories really stay with you. And I guess also that feeling of standing in front of an audience for the first time and seeing people really be affected by what it is that you're doing on stage, because that's really what happens, I think, when people perform. So how did you move on from there to pursue that dream of singing?
Well, I continued to be involved heavily in my church. I did everything from singing on the praise team to conducting the choir, the children's choir, as a high schooler, and got into chorus as I got older in school and took that really seriously. And I was writing songs. My grandmother gave me our family piano, the piano that my father had grown up playing. He didn't take his lessons seriously, though. So she gave it to me, and it's still in my bedroom at my parents' home, and I hope to take it with me wherever I go when I settle down and have a family one day. And so that piano, having that tangibly in my home, was so important for me. I learned how to play the piano by ear on that, and I didn't even start taking lessons until seventh grade on the piano, and then I took courses in piano in college. But having that was such a tangible thing for me that my grandmother gave to me. How special to have that as a gift that I can have forever. And so that was just always so important and nice for me to have, to be able to express myself and write songs on the piano. So that was really what gave me that foundation. Church and my family, I mean, they just supported me every step of the way and continue to support me.
What was the first song that you ever wrote?
Love. It's a song that I wrote when I was 5 years old without a piano. I was just sitting in my grandmother's living room on a hot summer's day, and I don't know, the words just kind of came to me.
How does it go? Give me a little bit
of it. Yeah, it's love, 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 love is the only thing that matters to me. Hey, 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 hey. So that was the first chorus.
At 5 years old.
5 years old, yeah.
Love was the only thing that mattered to you then and now too, right?
Yes. All all about love.
So those experiences that you had in school, I'm sure, are part of why you are so much an advocate for the arts and for, you know, bringing music education back to schools. Because, you know, when we grew up in Hampton, Virginia, I mean, this was such an important part of what you did. I mean, even we were, the schools were all segregated when I was growing up. But still, we had music lessons where you learned Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms, and you heard all of the classics. And, you know, we're exposed to so much, and you were forced to perform whether you were really good or not, which was good because I just think it's a great experience for you to be able to, as a child, to learn these things. Is that the case for you? Talk about the importance of having access to the arts as you grow.
It's completely important for a child to be able to express themselves in that way, in an artistic way. Obviously, physical activity is great. Sports are great. But there's nothing like expressing yourself through art and having that creative outlet. And that's what I had growing up. And I took it for granted in some ways. I mean, I appreciated it, but I didn't know how many children go without that, especially today where we see the arts being cut so much. And when I was a grad student, I had the opportunity to be an Artist Corps member, and I was able to go in and supplement schools and preschools that did not have arts as a part of their curriculum. So I was teaching music instruction. I was instructing music and integrating that into the curriculum. And when I started on my first day, the preschool I was at, there were about 10 to 15 kids in my class, and some of them just had the worst attention spans, kind of emotionally detached, and it was hard to watch, and it was hard to know that they didn't have music instruction in that preschool because they just simply could not afford it. But through Artist Corps, I was able to go in and supplement and teach them music, and by the end of the year, there was such a difference in the children and how they engaged with each other, how they engaged with me. And some of them had never even seen a piano before and been able to touch a piano. And so just having those little things, you don't realize how much you take that for granted. I mean, I grew up with a piano in my home because my grandmother passed that down to me. But some children don't have a grandmother with a piano to pass down to them, and they don't even have it in their schools. And so being able to see the difference that the arts made in their lives after knowing what impact it had on my life at that age, it was just so amazing to be a part of that. And it really is what set the foundation for me to want to advocate for the arts, not only as Miss America, but as NEA.
Yeah. So where'd you go to college?
East Carolina University in Greenville, North Carolina. That's where I received my bachelor's in music education and had a really great foundation there. And then my master's program was at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts. And that was just an exceptional experience. I could not have asked for a better school to learn and grow in the field of music composition. I learned so much about how to be free in my composition, to be free as an artist, but also I got some really great feedback and advice and mentorship. So I really appreciate the time that I spent at that university.
So, you know, the obvious question, how does a Carolina girl end up in New York becoming Miss New York and then going on to become Miss America?
Well, it's actually through the University of North Carolina School of the Arts. I mean, that school gave me so many opportunities. Not only was I able to be an Artist Corps member through that university, it was one of their programs that they had set up, but I also, on the first day of my entrepreneurship class, it was August of 2015, sitting in class, and my professor, Dr. Rothkopf, he's talking to us about entrepreneurship and like setting ourselves up for success in life, and he mentioned this fellowship at Lincoln Center Education, and like my mind just like sparked. Like I just had a spark of like, what? Like I just really zoned into what he was saying. And he's like, you know, it's a fellowship. They pay you a stipend to live and to work, and you're helping out with their educational programs. You also get the chance to produce your own show that will be performed at Lincoln Center. And all of that just sounded so great to me. And I knew like in that moment I wanted to have that fellowship. And so 2 years later, I was obviously working very hard in my master's program. But 2 years later, I applied for the fellowship in April, had my interview where they actually came down to interview us personally, and ended up getting a call in May that I had been accepted to the Kenan Fellowship in New York City. So that's when I moved. In August of 2015, June of 2015, 2017, I moved to New York, and the rest is history.
We're talking to NEA Imani Franklin, who represents the state of New York and represents America now as Miss America 2019. Talk about moving to New York, that, you know, living in New York in your 20s and when you're in the arts.
Yeah.
Wow, that is the place to be.
It is the place to be. And it's so funny. I competed for Miss North Carolina twice. So I've been in the Miss America organization actually going on 3 to 4 years now. And I competed for Miss North Carolina in summer of 2016, competed in summer of 2017, top 10 both years, talent award my second year, but did not win. The day after Miss North Carolina, after losing, I actually moved to New York for the fellowship. So technically the fellowship was my plan B because I wanted to compete for Miss North Carolina and win, but that wasn't God's plan. So I moved to New York the very next day. My boyfriend at the time drove me to New York and I started working at Lincoln Center. And then about 3 months later, I received a call that Miss North Carolina, where Miss America had raised the age limit because I had actually aged out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's behind me. I'm focusing on my career and my music career. And that's what I did. So I was living and working in New York. I was singing open mics. I was writing like crazy. I was meeting different people, going to a lot of shows. And I needed that to get to that next level as an artist and to just have that New York experience. I moved over 5 times, subletting and couch hopping. Didn't sign a lease. And in March, I decided to compete for Miss Five Boroughs and then won Miss New York in June. So it was quite a journey, but I wouldn't change anything about it.
What was it like when you heard your name called?
It was intense. It just felt unreal because honestly, after losing twice on a state level, then winning Miss New York, that in and of itself was amazing because New York has this legacy. You know, it's had 3 winners win back to back to back. We were tied with Oklahoma for winning Miss America the most times. It was 6 and 6 tied. So I actually broke the tie. But there was nothing like being Miss New York. I mean, it's a title that really, it's unlike any other state title. I mean, in some states you get apartments when you win. Miss North Carolina, you actually have an apartment that is paid for. But New York, you don't. I mean, the rent's crazy there. You would have to live in Buffalo, New York to have an apartment. And I wasn't moving to Buffalo. So it was a great experience. And it just teaches you so much resilience. I mean, having to be on the train with your crown and sash and like, it's just, it can be
New York
lot.
Will toughen you
It'll
up.
It'll toughen you up. And that's why I talked about in Miss America, how I had that New York grit when Layla Ali asked me, you know, what makes you, as a candidate for Miss New York, how will you be able to do this job of Miss America? How has living in New York helped you to be a great Miss America? And I told her, I have New York grit. And that's so true because being a Southern girl coming to the big city, I mean, it is an adjustment. No matter how tough you think you are, New York will toughen you up even more.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah. So them calling my name, it just was like icing on the cake because I loved being Miss New York and I only got to do it for 3 months. then I had to give that up to be Miss America. But it was just unreal because I was so grateful just to be in the top 15. I mean, they called my name 13th when they were calling the finalists. So I was already just like happy to be in that final group of women that were going to be able to actually be seen on TV doing their talent and speaking. So being able to even do my talent on the Miss America stage was so cool. So grateful to do that. So to be finally standing there holding hands with Bridget was just like, is this really happening right now? I really made it this far. And that's just one of those moments when it's like all of your hard work has paid off. Everything happens for a reason. And that's, it's just like you get to this point on your journey. And it's only one point on my journey, but getting to that point was just like, wow, I never expected this. This is not something I really wanted to do when I was a little girl. I wanted to just be a singer and a songwriter. But look at me, I'm standing on stage at Miss America, possibly about to win. So,
and you know, when you make an outstanding achievement like that, your life kind of changes. What are some of the things that have changed for you since being crowned Miss America?
So many things have changed. I would say my sense of like stability in a lot of ways because I don't have, I'm not home very much. I'm always traveling, always living out of a suitcase. I don't have access to a piano as much as I would like. And so that's why I've actually taken up ukulele. So
easy to carry.
Yeah, easy to carry. And it's such a good thing. Being Miss America, it has its challenges for sure. You don't have your family by your side. You don't get to sleep in the same bed every night. You don't have some of those comforts that you would have if you were just at home more, but it teaches you how to be resilient and how to grow and how to, and you learn about yourself through this experience and it pushes you. I mean, I would have never learned how to play ukulele if I weren't Miss America. I don't think, I mean, I never saw myself playing that. I mean, I took guitar up, but I would have never thought about ukulele. And so it's so cool that to see how you can like take something that you thought was like a negative and turn it into a positive. And obviously this being Miss America has so many positives. I mean, being able to go and speak to kids on a broader level and talk about the arts, being able to work with organizations such as Dallas Opera, Dallas Symphony, LA Opera, New York Philharmonic. I mean, it has so many benefits, but you also have to challenge yourself. And that's what I've tried to do, especially in the era of Miss America 2.0. There's been so much change, and it's important to try to keep your sense of stability. And for me, that's reading scriptures. It's talking to my parents more than I even talked to them before this year. It's important to have people that help keep you grounded.
Yeah, to stay grounded. That is essential for you. But also, along with this comes so many great opportunities. And I'm wondering how this has impacted your career now as a singer-songwriter. What's going to be next for you, and how do you really go to your first love and live it to the fullest?
Yeah, well, the opportunities will come, and they have come. And I've met so many really cool people. Producers, actors, actresses, songwriters, artists, singers. I mean, I've met so many people, but I think it's really important to just be careful about who you do choose to work with, and take everything with a grain of salt, of course. But once you do figure out who you want to work with, and for me as a singer, figuring out which producers I want to work with, that sort of thing. Also knowing that it may not happen overnight, and there's going to be work involved with it. And that's the biggest thing I have to remind myself of, is because just because I have this title, it doesn't mean that life is going to be handed to me on a silver platter now, right? Nothing comes easy, and you have to work hard for things. And I think there's so many great examples of that. I mean, we see great women like Oprah, who have worked so hard for the success that they've had. Serena Williams, Beyonce. I mean, these people have made sacrifices after sacrifices after sacrifices, and they have reaped those benefits. And that's what I plan to do. I want to follow in the footsteps of women like that. Dr. Maya Angelou, who was actually a church member of mine. It's important to work hard for things and to believe in yourself. And so I just see myself going into the field of not only songwriting and singing and putting out my own album, but also the field of music composition. And that's what I have my degrees in, and I would like to score for films. So there's a lot of career goals that I have, and I've accomplished one big one already. This was one of my career goals, and certainly Miss America is a job. And so this is just the beginning. It's just a stepping stone. I mean, I'm only 25. Some women win this title and they're only 20. So this shouldn't just be the end of your career. There's so much more that will come out of this. And I have great examples of like my own Miss America sisters, Mallory Hagan, who ran for Congress, Kira Kazantsev, who is hosting on the Golf Channel now. I mean, these women have worked so hard, and they haven't just said, after Miss America, I'm going to get married and like go live my life. They're working hard, and they're still accomplishing so many career goals, and I really admire them for that.
And as an advocate for the arts, you'll be bringing a lot of other people along behind you, because giving back is so important. And when you are able, you're blessed to be able to achieve so many things. The most important thing you can do is reach back and help some others do that.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing.
Thank you.
And we appreciate those efforts. We'll be following you on social media, and you can do that too at Nia Imani Franklin, and look for some really big things that are going on in Nia's life that we'll be hearing about real soon.
Yes, please, please look out for that.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us. I am delighted to meet you. You know, we saw you on TV, and meeting you in person is just way better.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's always good.
Thanks for spending time with us today.
Thank you.
I'm Pat Prescott from The Morning Show on 94.7 The Wave.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.